If we look at flood rescue pictures, we see rescue workers holding tightly to the one they are trying to save. Sometimes it's a parent holding tightly to a child and the child to the parent. But the point is, what we cling to, what we hold on to in life, truly has the potential to save us or to leave us stranded in the floods we all face. And truly, life is filled with floods. Amen? I want us to see today who David clings to. Psalm 63 was most likely penned when he was in the wilderness of Judah, either before he came to the throne of Israel or during his brief exile from his throne during the rebellion of Absalom. And both occasions were extremely trying, troublesome. They were some of the most difficult times in David's life. He was literally running for his life. Now, because of the importance of this psalm, Chrysostom states that among the early Christians, it was decreed and ordained that no day should pass without the public singing of this psalm. And as we work through this psalm, I think you'll see why. Our outline this morning has 5 points, and the first is David's thirst for God. And then second, God's greatness stirs this thirst for God. And then we have David's praise of God, David's trust in God, and then finally we have David's confidence in God. We're going to look at all 11 verses, but we're going to kind of look at them in a little bit different way. Under point number one, we see David's thirst for God. And that's found in verses 1 and 2. And he begins by saying, O God, thou art my God. O God, thou art my God. David is declaring here that Elohim, the triune God, the creator God, is my God. What? A God. The creator God. The triune God, the God that called the universe into being with just the words of his mouth, David can say, is my God. And how important this declaration is, for it is the secret then of all that follows. Friends, when we can say, God, you, the creator God, you, the God of the universe, are my God, the wonderful reality of living under the shadow of the Almighty becomes ours. And we see this reality described in Psalm 91, 1 and 2, where the psalmist says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Then David rightly continues, and so should we, early will I seek Thee. Knowing the Creator God is my God surely leads David's heart to seek Him and to do so early, for God is the priority of his day. Let me say that again. God is the priority of his day. God is first and foremost. God takes first place. Now, this word early is more than chronological. It carries a sense of eagerness, immediateness. And so it is rightly stated that he who truly thirsts for God longs for him now. And here we see one's whole being, spirit and soul and body, being affected in this insatiable, passionate longing for God. And this hunger, this thirst, is further declared in verse 8, where the psalmist says, My soul follows closely behind you. Or as the King James says, hard after you. Now, these words translated follows close have the sense of joining or gluing together. Friends, the meaning here is being united with strong affection. And such was David's yearning and desire. He longed to be tightly bound to his God, which raises the question, are you bound to God with strong affection? Are you bound to God with strong affection? Are you following close behind him, or is your heart bound to this world and all of its desires? Now, the sad reality is most people do not even realize that they are seeking their satisfaction, their fulfillment in all the wrong places, and how futile such efforts are, for their soul will remain thirsty. They will thirst again and again and again. Remember what Christ said to the Samaritan woman, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. And really, I think too often we see Christians following the ways of the world and seeking their satisfaction, the quenching of their thirst through the ways of this world. But for David, even though he is presently in a dry and thirsty desert where no water is, he knows where God can be found, in the sanctuary, in God's house, which tells us there is no desert in his heart. There might be a desert all around you, but the key is there desert in your heart? And for David, because God was his God, there was no dryness in his heart. Our second point is God's greatness stirs David's longing and thirst for God. God's awesomeness is described here in five beautiful ways. First, God's awesomeness, his beauty, is seen in verse 2, where David says that he desires to see God's power and glory. And what divine, glorious power David had already seen. And certainly a primary event that displayed God's power and glory was his victory over Goliath. And you remember his declaration to Goliath just before the fatal blow. He said to him, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Really, what he is saying, that all the world may know of your power and your glory. But David wanted, as the text says here, to see this power and glory again and again, especially in God's house, in the sanctuary. And I say, let us not be content with having seen God's glory in the past. And oftentimes in church work, we think, well, what it was like in the past, you know, how we sang the hymns of praise to the living God. Friends, God wants us to experience his power and glory now. I think too often we live our Christianity in the past. God wants us to experience him now, to see his power, his glory, to have fresh glimpses of his power and glory in our lives and in this house. Let me just say this. What keeps you coming back to hear the word of God, to sing the songs of praise, is experiencing, when you come, the power and glory of God. Honestly, if you come to see Pastor Lane, and I hope you don't, because I'm going to let you down. I'm just human. But if you come with a heart's passion, "Lord, I want to see your power and glory," I truly believe God will reveal that power and glory to you. And there's nothing else like it. Can I tell you it's better than NFL football? Can I tell you it's better than Georgia football? But when you come and you experience the power and glory of God, there's nothing like it in the world. Then in verse 3, David references God's awesomeness, his loving kindness, his mercy. He says, is better than life, is better than life, which simply means God's great and sacrificial love to him was more precious than his own life. In fact, David despairs without a sense of God's great love. Let us all remind ourselves, as the little chorus tells us, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The awesomeness of God, his loving kindness, that he loves me, that he knows me by name. He knows me so well, he can tell me the numbers of hair on my head. He knows when I sit down, when I stand up. He knows my thoughts when they're afar off. Jesus loves me, the loving kindness of God. It's awesome. Then in verse 5, David speaks of God's greatness as witnessed in the satisfaction that God brings to him. My soul, he proclaims, shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. David understands the deep fulfillment that comes in a surrendered seeking of this great God, of receiving his never-failing love, and then of praising him without reservation. And this worship can be comparable to the richest of foods with which the body can be nourished. Now your body right now may be thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had a 12-ounce ribeye and a loaded baked potato and a fresh salad and apple pie a la mode? Amen? But you know what? That physical food just lasts for a time. And then what are you? You're hungry again. But Jesus is one who satisfies us now and forever. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the one who nourishes our soul. I know I've said this so often. You have a hole in your soul that is so big that only God can fill it. Jesus is the one, as we sang in our chorus of the month, Jesus is the one who satisfies. And then David describes God's awesomeness as his help. Verse 7, because you have been my help. Now, many of David's psalms are simply cries for help. And since this psalm was composed from the wilderness of Judah, David could have certainly asked for the help he needed right then. But in Psalm 63, and I find this fascinating, we see no cry for help, but rather thanks and praise for God's faithfulness in the many times when God has been David's help. And surely David believes that his help in ages past is his hope for years to come. You know, God reminds us, he reminds me, wasn't I faithful to you during this situation, during this trial in your life? Have I left you? Have I stopped being God? I will continue to be your help. Amen. And then David's thirst for God is spurred by his upholding power. Verse 8, your right hand upholds me. And here David recognizes God's hand of skill and strength. Not just skill and not just strength, but skill and strength. Friends, God has the skill and God has the strength to uphold each of us in every and any trial of life. He upholds us. We can lean all of our weight on him. And so again, because of God's greatness, his awesomeness, as seen in his power and his glory, in his loving kindness, his mercy, in the satisfaction he brings to the heart, in his help, and in his skill and strength, David rightfully thirsts for God. And friends, when you see God in his power and glory, and you experience his loving kindness, the satisfaction he brings to your heart, you see that he is your help. He is the skill and the strength you need in life. Then you truly will thirst for God. And then you will enthusiastically give praise to God, which is our third point. Under this third point, we see six statements of praise that David offers to God. In verse 3, we see the statement, "My lips shall praise thee." In seeing and experiencing this mighty God, David's heart response is vocal praise. He praises the God from whom all blessings flow. Let me ask you, if you kind of look back on your day, are there points in your day in which you offered vocal praise to God? How often what comes out of our mouth is murmuring and complaining, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this isn't working out, and you know what? The world hears that, and our soul hears that. But let me say, when you are truly thirsting for God and you experience firsthand the awesomeness of your God, then an automatic response will be praise to the God who gives you all his blessings, all his love, all his strength, all of his kindness. My lips shall praise thee. I think we need to say, Lord, I need to change what I say. The words that come from my lips. And the way you do that is you begin to understand, Lord, you are my God, and you are an awesome God. And I have to speak of your wonders. You know, we all like to brag on our kids and grandkids. I like to brag on my kids. I like to praise them. Why? Because they're in my heart. And when God is truly in your heart, you will praise him. Statement number 2 of praise, thus will I bless thee while I live. Friends, like David, we bless and honor God when we, his children, appropriately praise and thank the Lord. We bless and honor this awesome God. Statement number 3 of praise, verse 4, thus will I lift up my hands in thy name. Now the lifting up the hands was not the only common posture of prayer among these ancient Hebrew people, but it was especially appropriate for those whose David-like hearts were gratefully surrendered to the living God. And it's like, my hands are open, Lord, to your blessings. I know the blessings are coming, and I lift my hands and say, Lord, fill me till I want no more. This fourth statement of praise, verse 5, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. It's almost like the first statement, my lips shall praise thee. Here we have joyful lips. Now, beautiful, when like David, we use our lips to give God his rightful, joy-filled praise, which again prompts me to ask, what and who are you praising with your lips? And then, as we see in the fifth statement of praise, not only is David's mouth praising the Lord, but so is his heart. By the way, your mouth will follow your heart. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For David, there were not enough hours in the day to think about God's greatness and goodness. Therefore, he declares, I also use the solitude and the stillness of the slower moments of life, the night watches, to meditate on God. And surely at the end of the day, our hearts should be able to recall our God's great goodness to us throughout that day. And what a fitting way to end our day and begin our night by counting our many blessings. by naming them one by one. You know, at the end of the day, can I have a time of prayer together? And oftentimes, I recall certain blessings that I experienced during that day. God's goodness to me during the day. You know, this really says a whole lot about David's heart. He declares, I don't have enough hours during the daylight to praise you, so I need also the night. Wow, what a heart for God. And then the sixth statement of praise is found in verse 7. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Now, sometimes the idea of the shelter or shadow of God's wings is the idea of protection as a mother shelters her young chicks. Psalm 91, he shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. But other times it has the idea of presence, as in the wings of the cherubim that surround the throne of God and cry day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, here David rejoices as he experiences the presence of his holy God. The presence. And he realizes in this presence, he experiences the shadow of his wings. Now, David's thirst for God and God's greatness that stirs this thirst, and then David's praise for God enables him, and this is our fourth point, to trust God, especially during times of trouble. I would dare say all of us are going to have some trouble this week. Now, what are you going to do when that trouble comes? My admonition is trust. Remind yourself that God is my God. Remind yourself how awesome he is. Begin to praise him for his awesomeness. And I can promise you what will follow then is that trust you need during the times of trouble and trial in God. Notice verse 9 and 10, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Or maybe your translation says jackals. Now let's remember the context of this psalm. David is in the wilderness, either before he came to the throne of Judah, running from Saul, or during his brief exile from his throne during Absalom's insurrection, which tells us praise-filled communion with God did not take away David's problems. He still had his problems. People, pastors, Joel Osteeners, who claim that your life is going to be one bed of roses, don't understand God's way for you and me. There are days I think, well, when is the next shoe going to fall? You know, it's like, oh, I haven't had really an issue or a trial yet. And it's almost like, well, when is it coming, Lord? And isn't that life? Life is filled with trials and troubles. Knowing God doesn't take away your problems, but you can face those troubles by trusting in the God who enabled David to give his enemies to God, to let God fight his battles. With the result, David's enemies, Saul and Absalom. Remember, David could have killed Saul, but he left that to God. Remember, he told Joab, I don't want you to kill Absalom. He wanted to leave that to God. He let God fight his battles. With the result, David's enemies, Saul and Absalom, did fall by the sword. And all of us in Christ are also conquerors. In fact, when God is on our side, we do not have to fear what man can do unto us. For if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, which includes victory? And then the psalm ends with a statement of confidence in God. And this is our last point, verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Isn't that beautiful? The king. He wasn't even the king yet. He had been anointed. If this took place when he was running from Saul, he really had a forward, confident trust that he would be king. But here he says, the king shall rejoice in God, and everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. People resort to believing lies when they don't trust God. And that's true of Christians. When you don't trust God, you'll believe the lies that you're telling yourself and that others are telling you. But when you have a trust in God, you believe that God is always enough. The people that don't trust God, their lives go nowhere and they will be stopped. But like David and God, we can confidently triumph. And so let me close by asking you, are you rightly and tightly bound to the Lord your God, as was David? Friends, what David experienced, you and I can experience. Remember, he said, my soul thirsts for God. Early will I seek thee. My soul follows hard after thee. Friends, David is attaching his very heart and soul, his very life, to God. It was like his life was glued to God's. Now, the world offers us a variety of things to cling to for security. Money, success, relationships, you can fill in the blank. But these things are flimsy and temporary at best and will often disappoint, whereas clinging to God never disappoints. And holding fast to the Lord enables us to survive and even triumph through the storms, the hurricanes of life. And yes, we all need something or someone to cling to in life. I pray that that someone will be Elohim, the Creator God, the one who sustained David and does and will sustain you and me. Oh, let us be able to proclaim together, O God, you are my God.